Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. Thank you guys so much for starting off the weekend right here with Break the Cycle and a matinee show. Unfortunately, we got a guy out at work, so I get to cover some night shifts. Lucky me. Lucky me. Let's start off with some sponsors. Of course, we have TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of awesome graphic design gear at 10% discount by using BTC at checkout, including this government is a the Mafia masquerading as a human rights organization shirt that I'm wearing today. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, or become a member of the YouTube channel here under any of my videos to get into the private Discord server, where you can get up to 30% off of all of the new designs that he puts out up to 2 weeks before they go to the general population. I swear to God, it's worth it. The guy is just making consistently awesome gear like every day almost. He's probably got hundreds and hundreds of different things on the website already that you can get a 10% discount, or, you know, join the Patreon, support the show and get fresh gear. And of course, Anthem Planning, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs, executive producer of the show. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a job that the government has historically sucked at much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, I'm stoked for today's show. I'm just gonna say it. You know, I have a lot of people on the show every day, 5 days a week. It's seldom that I have like people who've become my good friends on the show. So I'm very excited to introduce my friends Jessica and Cam from the Mad Ones. Guys, how are you doing today?
Great.
It's weird. I can't say tonight because it's only 3 o'clock Central Time. You know, I typically do the show at 7:30. Everybody on the East Coast getting ready for bed. Everyone on the West Coast having dinner. So no one really watches us, I don't think. You know what I mean?
It looks like it's nighttime in Cam's vampire lair.
It does.
Where
it
he
does.
Streams from. So yeah.
Well, that's because I like consistency, and I'm a quality whore when it comes to my own stuff. And so I'm like, I'm going to be on a stream later on. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to buy some blackout curtains. So I always look like I do on every show.
Yeah, you are are definitely hanging out with Bram, like Dracula today, man.
Every day.
I also like how you just said that you were a quality whore, so that if anybody wanted to buy you, they know that you're quality.
Yeah, it might cost you a lot of money, but it's worth it. Every dollar, right?
So yes. Most of it.
So usually on my show, we start off with this, you know, I want to hear your guys' journey to you know, becoming anarchists or libertarians or whatever the hell you guys call yourselves. I don't even know. Who knows these days? I know you guys aren't big fans of the Libertarian Party. And I get that. I understand that. As a guy who sits on the Libertarian National Committee, nobody understands it more than I do. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people on the committee would be like, oh, I just don't understand why nobody likes the party. I'm like, really? Just fucking look around. What are you talking? You know what I mean? Like, what? But why don't we start with Jessica? Jessica, what is your story? You are absolutely based on Twitter. One of my favorite Twitter follows. You know that. I've said that several times. Yeah. But what is it that brought you to this this anarchy philosophy?
Well, believe it or not, I used to be a liberal, social justice warrior, insane person. And I was quite happy in that regard. I was the admin for a rather large group that I won't mention the name of the group because it always causes me trouble when I do. But we had something like 145,000 members in this group.
Holy shit.
And it was connected to both liberal politics and atheism. And around the summer, I want to say August of 2017, Rand Paul's neighbor attacked him rather violently, put him into the hospital. And I watched all of the people around me cheer and celebrate and, you know, basically throw a big party because this man had been put into the hospital. I mean, I thought, hey, guys, you know, we don't want to be doing this. Political violence is not something that we should be celebrating or cheering on or endorsing. And those people rolled on me faster than a crocodile with prey. I mean, it was breakneck speed with which these people rolled on me. And I got called everything from a white supremacist sympathizer to, you know, just every fascist, every name in the book. And it was really, you know, jarring to see how quickly someone, you know, who had been rather active, friends with people for over a decade in this community, was suddenly on the out because I had not wanted to put Rand Paul in the hospital. Right. So a lot of people have a Ron Paul moment. I had a Rand Paul moment.
That's so funny. Well, and you're talking about this giant group of you know, liberals and atheists. So I'm sure it was just filled with mostly liberal white women anyways. And here they are calling you a white supremacist. Go figure.
Yeah, yeah. So there was this app called Soraya, which I don't know if you guys know about it, but you can send people anonymous messages. And for the most part, I would get like really super positive messages until this event happened. And then like that day, that moment that all of that happened, I started getting like these really horrible, personal, cutting types of messages. And after a couple of years went by, I started learning about how narcissistic cults work. And everything about this group of friends, so-called friends that I had, followed the earmarks of a narcissistic cult. And one of those earmarks is called love bombing. And when you first join up with a group like this, they love bomb you. They make you feel so accepted. They make you feel loved. They make you feel like you have a community. And you start to tell people personal things about yourself. And the leaders of those groups, they make notes of these personal things that you tell them, your insecurities, your traumas, all of the things that, you know, could be used to hurt you if you ever stepped out of line. And those things definitely started to be used as weapons against me. I had to develop a much thicker skin about that kind of thing. And then another weird form of attack, which I didn't know was a thing, was I don't know if you guys are familiar with the meme, remove cloth, show bobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which is Indian men who are really persistently in girls' DMs asking them to, you know, remove cloth and show their bobs.
Milky mommies.
I started getting, milky mommies, bitch lasagna, you know, all of it. So I started getting like 50 of these messages a day for 6 or so months was like the bulk of like really getting like lots and lots of these messages. So somebody wrote my name on the internet bathroom wall somewhere.
Jesus.
Yeah, it got really weird. So I kind of walked away from political groups for a while. I was politically homeless. And in that politically homeless time, someone had suggested to me to listen to Tom Woods because he was doing episodes about poverty and why socialism was not the best way to handle poverty. And I thought, you know, to this day, I'm still very concerned. It's not as though I became a libertarian, became an anarchist and thought, oh, I don't give a shit about poor people anymore. It's certainly still something that I care a lot about. I care a lot about the environment. I care a lot about people who are in poverty. But I was in a unique moment where I was willing to listen to someone sort of outside of my normal range of people. And Tom just, he really made a lot of sense. And he did it without like having to denigrate the other political side.
Right.
So I started listening to him, started familiarizing myself with other speakers in this community and really like was convinced, hey, you know what? Socialism might not be the best method for handling human poverty, for solving human problems. And then it was kind of on from there. I started a Twitter account in summer of 2018, which was about a year after all of this happened, made a lot of great friends, ventured out into having a community again. And, you know, I learned some lessons from the first time I was involved with an internet community that I certainly have carried into my future dealings with online communities. But I've definitely found a group of people I think are a lot more open to counter ideas.
Sure.
And including people in this community who still entertain communist types of ideas, socialist types of ideas. You know, even though that's not something you typically hear from anarchists on our side, there are left-wing anarchists, there are left-wing libertarians. And so there's like a really wide range of people who refer to themselves under this moniker,
sure,
which is not something you would have heard sort of like from progressives. So, yeah, I owe Tom Woods a lot for being here.
We all owe Tom Woods a lot. I promise you. Hey, but so that's a beautiful story. It really is. You got turned on by the left because that's what they do. If you don't toe the at least the philosophical line, cut, guillotine, see you later, immediately. And it has to be every single point you have to agree or they're done. Libertarians are a lot like that sometimes. Well, some libertarians, especially the Lulberts from the regime, you know, they're definitely like, hey, if you don't agree with me on immigration 100% and abortion 100%, you're out, you know. But why the hate for Sean Astin, though?
Because fuck Sean Astin,
that's what he's such a sweetheart. God. It hurts
you
my
would
heart.
Think that.
It hurts
you
would my think heart. That. It hurts my heart. Have you guys ever seen Rudy? For crying out loud. Do you know a grown man that doesn't cry at Rudy?
Listen to the dude's story.
I don't know the dude's story.
I am the biggest Lord of the Rings fan. When I was coming up, that was my shit. I had swords. I don't have them anymore. But I had Lord of the Rings swords. That's how much of a nerd I was for that stuff. And then I was asked to be a featured extra in a film that Sean Astin was in my hometown. I was like, cool. They're like, you look grizzly. You look like a biker. You could be one of our lead bikers in this scene. And I was like, awesome.
That's so
I could
so
get
cool.
my motorcycle. I ride over to the set. I meet Sean Astin. I'm starstruck. Dude asks me, hey, I have been taught how to ride a motorcycle by the official Harley Davidson people, and I have insurance, and I really like your bike. Can I ride it around? And I said, against my better judgment, yeah, take it for a whirl. And so he's riding around and he's having fun and I'm just watching him. But I have pictures. I can prove that I was standing next to this short little fella. So he's still riding and they're like, okay, time to go to set. We're starting the scene. And so I don't have my bike to be in the scene, to be the biker. And so I had to ride bitch with some fat dude to the set. And I'm not happy then,
Jesus.
But I'm like, they'll bring it over. It'll be fine. And then we're on set. They're starting to shoot some stuff. My friend who's a PA on the set says, hey, you should come back to the where the trailers are. Sean Astin wants to talk to you. And I was like, okay. And so I get in the car, I go over, and he goes, by the way, Sean Astin dropped your motorcycle.
Oh my God.
And I was like, no. And I was like, well, just give me my keys, I'll leave. And he goes, no, Sean Astin wants to meet you and give you the keys. I think he wants to apologize. And I'm like, okay, that's a stand-up thing to do. I had just put new things on my handles and stuff.
Oh, sure,
and a new derby cover on. And I get there and I walk up to Sean Astin and he doesn't hand me the keys immediately. He goes, he has them in his hand. He goes, oh, by the way, here are your keys back. Thank you for letting me ride your motorcycle. And I look at it and all my new shit's scratched.
Ugh.
And so I'm like, that's going to cost a good $200 to put that stuff back on. And he goes, by the way, when you're riding a motorcycle and you come to a stop, how do you make it so that you don't, how do you make it so the handlebars don't go to the left and you fall on the bike?
Huh.
And I was like, you put your feet down.
Yeah, it's really not that hard.
Hold the bike up. And he goes, okay, cool. Thanks for that. This little hobbit motherfucker, he decides that what he's going to do is pretend that it didn't happen at all. To say nothing, give me my keys and let me walk off.
Are you serious?
When people say they hate an actor, usually it's because they don't like the way they act. I just have personal beef with a hobbit, and I have a no hobbit rule for my motorcycle these
fair,
days.
Fair,
so fuck
fair.
Sean Astin.
You know, I feel like Elijah Wood would probably not have done that.
I don't think that the guy who played Pippin, Billy Boyd, would have done it either.
Right.
I think Sean Astin is the bad hobbit.
Yeah, or the dude that played Charlie on Lost, whatever his name is, Dominic Monaghan or whatever, he probably would have helped you out too. They seem like nice guys. I don't know. But Cam, tell me your story, man. Listen, you're sitting there like Nosferatu in the dark. Okay. And
I'm trying to look sexy.
You had a hobbit dump your motorcycle. Is this why you decided, like, fuck people, I'm going to be an anarchist or what?
No. So I grew up in a Reagan conservative household. 9/11 happened in seventh grade. I talked to all my friends about how it was World War III and I was going to fight for it. And then I turned 17 and I was like, do I want to do this? And then I talked to a couple of recruiters and they were like, you'd have to shave your beard. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing that. So I decided not to do that based purely on beard alone. But then I went to college, and in 2010, I was late to the Ron Paul movement. But in 2010, I heard a speech from Ron Paul called Imagine. And it's the one where he talks about imagine, excuse me, imagine if China came to America and had bases in Texas, and he just turned kind of Afghanistan on its head. And he challenged me morally. And it made me remember, because I was homeschooled after seventh grade. And during that time, my mom read me Whatever Happened to Penny Candy, the Richard Mayberry books, and taught me about Austrian economics from, like, she thought it was all conservative, but she was like planting the anarchist seeds in my head.
Well, truly it is conservative. I mean, if you think about it, if you want to go full bore conservative, the best way to do it is Austrian economics. But
oh, absolutely. But she didn't realize she was planting anarchist seeds in my head. But she still hates it. But so he made that moral case against war. And I just, it was like a flip, like a switch flipped in me. And I was in it. I spent a lot of time talking about the Constitution with a lot of people, and a lot of the people that I was around, like Carl Jones, and he led me to Kevin Gutzman, who led me to Tom Woods. But I didn't even know about anarcho-capitalism until I went to my friend Carl and I said, I'm so done with the whole thing. I don't want to have any part of it. I was like, can I just be an anarchist? And he goes, well, you can be an anarcho-capitalist. And I was like, what's that? And then since then, it's been, I mix that in with my morality, which is Bible based and Christian.
Sure.
And so I'm very, it's a very Christian anarchism that I hold, but it was all due to, my warmongering, but being called into question by Dr. Paul. Oh. So I had a Ron Paul moment. She had a Rand Paul moment.
I had a Ron Paul moment too. I get it.
Someday Jessica will have a kid and that kid will have a Logan Paul moment and we'll all be in the same boat.
I had a Jake Paul moment the other day and I hate myself for it. I really do. I do. Top Lofts and I are talking about how, listen, you guys need to subscribe to this YouTube channel so it can get big enough that Top Lofts and I can call out Jake and Logan Paul for boxing matches, right? So that's where we want to get. That's our end goal, is being big enough to call out the Pauls for boxing matches and make hundreds of million dollars beating up these YouTubers, right? But so Jake Paul's actually like a really good boxer. He is. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's beat up pretty much nobodies. He is fighting tomorrow night against somebody who is a lot better. But he was being interviewed the other day, and he plays the heel. You know he does. I mean, he plays it up on purpose because it gives him more attention. He's really not this piece of shit that he acts like he is, I don't think. But he was being interviewed by the MMA guys, and they're like, you know, you said the other day that MMA guys don't get paid enough and blah, blah, blah. And he went off on Dana White saying, you know, they're getting paid less than like 10 or 15% of what they're drawing for the company. And meanwhile, you got Dana White talking about winning $7 million on a blackjack hand in Las Vegas. And he's like, they're screwing him over. I'm making sure they get paid. Like, you know what I mean? So I think he might be like positioning himself to start an MMA, production. I think that's what he's trying to do. I think that's why he called out Ben Askren and all these guys. I think he's trying to start a promotion. I think he really is trying to start his own MMA promotion and like pull away from Dana White, which, I mean, I like the UFC. I've been watching the UFC for a long time. I trained MMA for 10 years. Never would have made it to the UFC. I mean, I could have if I really stuck with it, but I was too busy chasing women and drinking at bars in Portland, Oregon and stuff. But, when I did train, I was pretty good. You know, I trained with like people like Chael Sonnen and, you know, some great people out there at Team Quest in Oregon. And, God, where did I go with that? Fuck, I got all into the MMA talk. But I would not mind seeing somebody who could actually compete with the UFC and start bringing some of the attention away from the UFC, because it's been, you know, this juggernaut in the MMA movement for so long, and they have the capacity and power to just fuck over fighters and they don't care. You know what I mean? So if the Pauls could do it, more power to them. I think there's a soft spot in there, man. So tell me about the show, man. Mad Ones, how's it been going? Why'd you guys start it? What's it about?
Well, it's a kind of funny story, because I started the show really 4 years ago, and it was back in 2016. And the Mad Ones is just the perfection of all that I've learned and all that Jessica's learned. When I say perfection, it's not perfect, but you know. So it started as Make Liberty Great Again, and that was with a couple of friends of mine, and it was. I mean, I love my friends, but it was bad. And then we stopped after about 9 episodes. And then you got all that, oh, you started a podcast, you went 9 episodes. I guess that's longer than most podcasts run.
Sure.
And I was like, okay. And then I rebooted it. I guess maybe two years ago. And I did, that's where our episode numbers come from, is because before we started it up as the Mad Ones in February, I had, I don't even know, we've done a lot of episodes, but we're at 107 this coming week. But I got tired, no offense to you, I love you. You're like one of the few podcasts, particularly in the libertarian world, that I'll listen to or watch now.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But buddy, I got tired of hearing all the same things over and over
again. Sure.
And it's not that these things aren't needed and that you don't need to hear them, but I you ever feel like you've just heard everything?
Yep.
And I got really kind of bored with that. And one day I made the art, I put it together. It's based off the name of the podcast, The Mad Ones, is based off of a part of a of the book On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Great book,
which I think is just it's just the most wonderful little bit of poetry within that, the prose of that book. But I'd sent it over to Jessica and I was like, I'm thinking of rebranding. And before that, she'd been on like every episode over the past five or so. And I was like, are we going to stop pretending that you're my not really my co-host now, right, or what? And she was like, actually, I was thinking about talking to you today about, my friend has some music and, you know, if we want to use it, we can. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, let's do that. And so we started it. We did a lot of the libertarian rounds. We talked to a lot of libertarian people. We mm-hmm. talked to, you know, Thaddeus Russell, Hotep Jesus,
Scott Horton,
Jeff Dice. We talked to a lot of great people, and those were the best in the world. Like, those are just great episodes, great, you know, mind stretching episodes. But I wanted more of that mind stretching. And we kept having these kind of episodes that were good, but I didn't feel like I'd learned anything.
Right.
And so we decided we're not going to do libertarian episodes anymore. Of course, it's going to come up. Of course, you know, anarchism or whatever is going to come up in our conversations. But we wanted to do things that other people aren't talking about or things that interest us. Like the other day, I started talking to a guy who was attacked by two great white sharks.
Jesus.
At the same time on video. And later on, he was actually hunted by orca. And I thought, wow, this is a fascinating story. I want to talk about that. And I had this feeling of freedom, because if I had been doing just a libertarian show, like, how do I make that fit?
Right.
How do I make talking about shark attacks fit within like the libertarian paradigm? And so it was really just more of a freeing situation and a way to talk about more things. We've talked about death. We've talked about stoicism.
Sure.
So it's just, I want to learn more. I want to talk to interesting people and I want to make dick jokes. And I can't really do, I had enough dick jokes tied to economic theory, I guess.
I feel the same way, buddy. That's why, you know, when I first started Break the Cycle, I was like, oh, I'm going to do an awesome libertarian show. It's going to be great because it looks good, right? It looks like I did, you know, the aesthetic's really good. Top Lobster's the man. I did a good background, all that great stuff. So I'm going to have the best looking libertarian podcast, but I didn't want to pigeonhole myself anymore. So, I think a little over a month ago, I quietly kind of rebranded the mission statement of the show. Nobody really noticed, I don't think, but it was initially, you know, we're talking liberty, so sit down and buckle up because it ain't always pretty. And now it's, politics, culture, music, and comedy, because I don't want to pigeonhole nice. Myself. And it's smart. It's smart to not pigeonhole yourself. It's smart to bring on people with different views, you know, and as much as the fakertarians are going to screech about it, it's not their fucking show. You know what I mean? So right. Who gives a shit? But Jess, I mean, what's the show mean to you? How have you been? Are you enjoying it or what?
I have, and I have always said for a long time that the mind is a garden and you should be free to wander it. So if you pigeonhole yourself, as you said, into sort of like an economic theory or a political theory or even like a cultural theory, you don't have that freedom to like wander around and try different things. So like if I want to talk to a communist, you know, how am I supposed to fit that in with a libertarian fan base? You know, or, you know, so I'm not saying, you know, I particularly do want to talk to a communist, but I'd like the freedom to do that.
Right.
And after all, this is about freedom, isn't it? So, you know, the mind is a garden. Please feel free to wander it and feel free to be wrong about things. Like we're so afraid to be wrong about anything. We have to have that absolutely solid theory that no one can touch and is unshakable and unbreakable. And, you know, God, how boring is that?
Right.
I'd like the freedom to explore wrong ideas if I'd like to.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. And the other thing about doing a show like this is like, it's like, it doesn't have to be a fucking debate show. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, you know, everyone, when you're doing a libertarian show, everyone expects you to debate anybody who has any ideas that they don't agree with. And it's like, dude, it's not why I'm doing a show. I'm doing a show for people to come and check it out, maybe learn something, listen to guests. And if they like the guest, maybe they can go follow the guest and check out more of their ideas. If they don't like the guest, then they don't have to. And they can sit there in the live chat and talk all the shit they want, and they can super chat and it shows up on the screen. You know what I mean? And if, you know, like Top Lobster threw $2 and said, these guys don't seem very mad. And I agree, you know, I agree.
Yeah, it's mad in the Alice in Wonderland sense of the word.
Yeah, you didn't hear that. You missed all the maniacal laughing before I started the show. That's why they're doing all these little, you know, they had like teacups and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Right.
So
I still have my teacup.
Oh, nice. There you go. Scam, how tall are you? You're calling Sean Astin short. How tall are you?
I'm about 5'11".
Oh, okay. So you're not short. I mean,
he's probably like 5'7".
Oh, geez.
5'6"-ish, I guess.
Now, Canton claims to hate hobbits, but I am only 4'11".
Holy shit.
And refer to myself as a garden variety hobbit.
Yeah, you're so only an inch shorter than my fiance, so it's not like you're that
okay.
short. She's 5 foot nothing, so.
I get really excited. There are two kinds of people in public I get really excited to see. One of them is anyone who's shorter than me. And then the second one is bearded ladies. Bearded ladies are like white elephants. They are a magical presence. If you see a bearded lady in public, you have to go tell her how awesome she is. Because, you know, bearded ladies, they have a hormone disorder that causes them to grow beards, which normally women don't, but these ones do.
I thought it was just called Russian or Italian.
For the most part, the women like that will shave and wax and do everything they can to get rid of this beard. But a bearded lady at some point in her life has decided, fuck it, I'm just going to be a bearded lady. And she has released herself from all expectations of society and grown her beard as it naturally comes out of her face. And I respect the hell out of those women. And honestly, I've only seen maybe three in my life. And I nearly jumped out of my skin. One was about a year ago at a gas station. And I was like screaming at my husband, stop the car, because there was a bearded lady at the gas station. I wanted to meet her so bad. We didn't get there in time for me to meet her, but yeah, bearded ladies, I love you. You're my favorite.
Cam, she loves you. Good job.
And that's what I was about to say. As a man with both a beard and long hair, that is the number one insult I get, is that I'm a bearded woman. And I'm like, okay.
You're just like, what?
That's fine.
What are you trying to say? I have soft features or something? I don't get it. I'm
it's
jealous.
Not even an insult.
I'm jealous of Cam's beard. I've talked about this several times. My beard is so little compared to Cam's. You know, and it'll never get there. I couldn't grow a beard till like my mid-30s. So, unfortunately,
my dad had a perfect beard. Like mine still has patches. My dad, it was legitimately the perfectly, like it grew perfect. It was full everywhere. And I'm like, maybe once I turn 40, then I'll have even more perfect of a beard. But I'm the only kid who ended up with one. Neither of my brothers can grow facial hair like at all.
That's funny. Well, you also have like a lot of kids like me too, right?
Yeah, I have five.
Okay.
That I've made. And yeah. They're something.
What about you, Jessica? You don't have kids, huh?
No, I get to take naps in the middle of the day if I want to.
Oh my God, it's gotta be wonderful. It's gotta be
No, wonderful. We're trying. We're currently trying for a child, so you know, keep us in your prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure it'll happen. And you guys it'll happen when it's supposed to happen. That's unless exactly. You're me, then it just happens all the time and it's unfortunate. You just end up with a bunch of different kids. And
like I said, I'm glad that you guys are putting out like replacement value and then some, because I am definitely not towing the line.
we're trying to repopulate the world with little liberty minions, you know. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe we have another one on the way. I don't know. We'll see. Well, it could be crazy. That's not an announcement yet, but we'll see. You know, we're gonna go look at some 15 passenger vans this weekend. So that's exciting, you know, because everybody needs a church van for their family. He's of like, 10.
Break the cycle, Church of God, written in the side, but like in Korean.
Right. right. So, right. Yeah, in Korean, yeah, or some kind of kanji. So, what's been some of your guys' favorite episodes so far on Mad Ones?
We did a great episode last, I think, 2 weeks back with Chris Baker. He has an organization, called Inc. 180, and he does tattoo work for people who have escaped gang life and sex trafficking.
Well, that's awesome.
And I learned so much from that episode that I just didn't know in the hour and a half before we had spoken to him. And it was revelatory. And I thought, this is the exact kind of episode I want to be doing. Episodes where I come out with a completely, maybe different perspective than I had when I went in.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence?
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
You know, and as we were talking about, like with libertarian episodes, you might hear everything you agree with in that episode, and that's always fun and great. But what about things that like completely turn your thinking on its head? That's something truly special. And so that episode with Chris Baker, I got to tell you, I really enjoyed talking to that dude, and you know, he taught me a lot in an hour and a half.
It wasn't the episode with all the people on it where I hopped in halfway through and was like munching chips. You know, like that wasn't your...
Yeah, that was just we were just having a party, a celebration.
That was fun.
I weirdly knew one of the guys who showed up to the feed. Like I knew him from my party days back in Atlanta, and I'm like, "Hey, you're Bob. I know you. We've been drunk together." So that was kind of fun.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I was enjoying that. I had got everyone to sleep, and I think I did my show, and then I was like, I had a drink or something, and then I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna hop on this. This looks fun." And it was, and I was on my phone, like smoking cigarettes. I'm like, "Hello, what's up? How you doing?" You know. It was fun, and I found out later that Julia was actually upstairs in bed watching the episode that I was on. I was like, "Oh my god, so ridiculous!"
We were hammered by the time you came on. I was hammered for that episode,
and we were talking about horror movies. I remember that. That was fun, right? It was horror movies, and I busted out the Bad Taste, and everyone's like, "Whoa, buddy, obscure enough, you know?" Which kind of ties into your hate for Sean Astin, because Peter Jackson made the movie Bad Taste and also Lord of the Rings. See? 6 degrees of separation. Yeah. Cam, what about you? What's yours?
I was just going to say, what's funny about that episode with Chris Baker was when we were talking about what episodes we wanted to do, I had thrown out a bunch and I had said tattoo artist. And Jessica was like, a tattoo artist? Why would we talk to a tattoo artist? And I was like, I didn't put the full description of what he does. And so she was like not on board. And I was like, oh, no, wait. He tattoos over like tattoo brands from women who are in sex trafficking, because these women will get tattooed with barcodes or the pimp's name, their slave master's name. And they have, there was so much that was in that, but she was like, okay, that sounds more interesting. And it ended up being her favorite. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe my favorite, was the one with Kate Cheryl, who, she has a, project called Burials and Beyond. She has a PhD in Gothic literature.
Oh, wow.
But she spends her time studying death in cemeteries. And death is one of those things that makes a lot of people super uncomfortable. They don't know how to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. And I think that's not good. I think that death is, like we talked with Kim on our Stoicism episode, is death should be something that we remember. It should be something we're prepared for. And so we just talked to her about death, and about how even like I talked about how with my dad, it was like by law, in order to view my dad's body, he had to be embalmed, which is just cronyism. And so that kind of came into it a little bit. But I just there are a lot of topics that people don't know about or don't want to talk about. And that's where those are my favorites. So probably Chris Baker, and then the episode with Kate, And then last week's episode with Kim Shang, where we talked about stoicism.
Oh, Kim's cool. I haven't seen Kim along. It's funny, when I got kicked off Facebook, I lost contact with so many people, man. It's wild.
Yeah.
Kim
is who I started the first version of the show with.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Nice. That's pretty cool, man.
We call her the fairy pod mother.
Really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
I call her that.
Sorry, somebody. Ralph H was asking what type of cigarettes I smoke. I smoke Marlboro Reds for like 20 years. That's why I have this voice. It's not because, you know, I was born like this or anything. Cam, the FDA blocks sales of 55,000 flavored e-cigarette products today. The same FDA that has granted has completely okayed this vaccine that has less than 6 months of real data. So,
well, about the e-cigarette thing, this is something that annoyed the devil out of me, is because a year ago, I think, a little over a year ago, they made it so that any of the ones you buy from a gas station with the pods, it couldn't have fruit flavors anymore. So you had to move to tobacco or to menthol in order to buy them at a gas station,
right?
Which it's just another example of the, because you know who sells the ones at the gas station is Big Tobacco.
Right.
They were trying to get into the market and edge out all of the independent guys who are making the specialized juices with the different flavors and all of that. And so the FDA, when they came out with the approval the other day, I was like, someone said to me in real life, they said, oh, now that the FDA has approved the vaccine, now you don't have any excuses. And I was like, oh, shit, you're so lucky to have talked to me 15 seconds after I decided to trust the government. Because that has never mattered to me. Like, why the hell would I care what the FDA has to say about anything?
Right.
Because they wasn't the FDA created out of that propaganda book, Sinclair, that was talking about the meatpacking industry? Where that started?
It would make sense. Oh.
But I'm pretty sure it was born out of the propaganda anyway. Yeah.
That book was called The Jungle. We read it in 11th grade.
Oh, I didn't. I did not.
And it's all bullshit.
It's basically, it's about an immigrant family that comes from Eastern Europe, and the only job that they can get in their poor neighborhood is this meatpacking plant. And I think one of them falls into the meat grinder, and they're pulling fingers and ears out of the... I mean, it's really overblown. I'm sure some stuff did happen like that at the turn of the century. There weren't as many, you know, regulations as they are now, so meatpacking definitely probably got away with some things, but it was way overblown. And they have kids read this in high school. It's like required reading for kids in high school to make you believe that without the FDA, your pack of hamburger meat would probably have an ear in it.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So, yeah.
And well, and ground beef probably does have ears in it. I mean, to be honest with you.
I mean, probably. At the current state of things, because of factory farming, the pack of ground beef that you get can have hundreds of different cows in it.
Right.
Yet these small farms that do their own butchering can't get a FDA approval for you to get beef that comes from one single cow
or raw milk.
So it's kind of ridiculous.
Matter.
Or raw milk. Yeah. Right.
Which is so great. Holy shit, guys. So Sirhan just got granted parole. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
He's the man. He's the guy. He's the guy who assassinated Robert Kennedy. Senator Kennedy, back in, I think it was in the 60s, okay. Was it in the 1968 in Los Angeles, he shot and killed one of the Kennedys, and they're granting him parole. And there's a lot of speculation that he was MK Ultra, because he stated for years and years and years after the assassination, he had no recollection of the assassination. He doesn't remember it at all. He doesn't think he did it. It's crazy.
I'm pretty sure Charles Manson was also MK Ultra.
I think he went on an acid trip that never came back from.
The guy they're letting out, he's probably a million years old. They probably just found out that he has some kind of expensive to treat disease. And the prison system just doesn't want to carry his weight anymore. It's like, you know, your best years are behind you. Get the fuck out.
It looks like his son, Robert Kennedy's son, said that he doesn't want to keep him in. He wants him paroled. Mike Jackman in the chat just said RFK Jr. doesn't believe Sirhan was the gunman who actually killed his father. So that's pretty crazy to think about.
There you go.
RFK Jr., that's the vaccine activist guy, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because that's the one that my my fiance is like obsessed with. She founded an organization here in Iowa called Informed Choice Iowa, which is like lobbies for medical freedom and, you know, vaccine informed consent and all that stuff. And so she's
awesome.
Yeah, she's really big about, like, you know, she wants to get her paralegal and go work for, I think it's Robert Kennedy. I'm pretty sure that's the one. But that's crazy. I can't believe that Joe, he's definitely an MK subject, I thought too. Crazy stuff.
My biggest growth day on Twitter was, and I never expected this to happen, but I gained over 1,000 followers in a day because I said I formally apologize.
Oh,
anti-vax.
Sorry. I threw you out.
No worries.
I threw you out.
I said, you know, just kind of a one-off tweet. I said, I formally apologize to the anti-vaxxers. Because for years, they had tried, like, the real anti-vaxxer people had tried to warn us that these vaccine mandates were coming down the pipeline.
Oh, sure.
It's like, oh, you think this is no big deal. But now, looking at the state of things we're in, I thought, you know, hey, we owe these people an apology. And people were just, you know, you could really tell. It was like, hey, I feel vindicated by this tweet. And I gained 1,000 followers in a day just for acknowledging that these people had been warning us for years about this. And so if you ever, like, if you have a real anti-vaxxer, not just a vaccine hesitant person, but an anti-vaxxer, just, you know, thank them and tell them, hey, you tried. Yeah. You definitely tried to sound the alarm.
Yeah, Julia is definitely one of those people for sure. She tried very hard. And so also today, something that happened is the judges ruled against the ban on the mask mandates in Florida schools. Did you hear about that?
I did not. I don't put my kids in those schools.
Yeah, you guys homeschool, right?
Yeah, I love my children.
Ouch, dude. We got two in public school. So
I said that to my sister one time, and my mom about shit a brick because I was just joking, and my sister knew I was joking, but my mother, why would you say such a thing to her? You know she loves her children. I'm like, chill. I know that, but I still love
them. She loves them. She loves just hers. A little bit less, though.
Yeah, I went to public school, and that's probably why I'm such an idiot, to be honest with you. But I'm happy to be, you know, look, I have a good show where I just bring people on and that are way smarter than me, and then it looks good. It looks good. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Sometimes Tom Woods or Michael Malice will post something about grammar. Like, hey, guys, put the period on the inside of the parentheses. And I'm like, yeah, I went to public school. This is actually information that I need. So I literally learned grammar from Michael Malice's Twitter feed.
But hey, and you can. I mean, you really can. You know what I mean? Malice is such a very smart guy. And to be that smart and that with the culture is very, it's you know, it's not something you see a lot.
Rare.
Yeah, it's very rare. And then to have the social skills that he has as well on top of that. It's like I've never met somebody who's so autistic but also so good at being social. you know it's insane, man. I don't know. He's a smart guy, man. He puts a lot of people in this movement to shame, and I really like the people that don't apologize for having the correct view on things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, further than that, he really offers encouragement to people who are feeling the pressure and feeling the weight of the new form that this culture war has taken. Like, I've mourned for the way that the relationships between my friends and I have changed. And he puts out encouraging tweets that are like, hey, don't feel bad about doing the right thing. And I need that sometimes. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. What about you, Cam? What do you like most about Michael Malice?
Well, I think my favorite thing about Michael Malice is that he follows me on Twitter.
Oh, wow. But that's nice.
No, I admire Malice a whole lot. Like, there are a lot of things that he's said and ideas about hope, about just being able to be a dick when you want to be a dick, but to be smart about it. I love that. I was on the Propaganda Report for 2 weeks, and people hear my voice, and a lot of times they don't expect me to have as big of a beard as I have, but they also don't expect to go onto my Twitter feed and see me posting hammers above people that I think should be smacked with one, or, you know, it's saying really mean things to people I don't know. And so I just love that dichotomy. It's like my voice betrays. No, it doesn't. My tweets actually tell you how my brain works more than my apparently smooth voice. I keep getting that, and I'm like, well, listen to the show, damn it. Subscribe. What the fuck?
Your dulcet tones.
It is a really smooth voice. I didn't expect it. Like, I hadn't heard you. I'd only seen you. Then I heard you. I was like, wow. Okay, buddy. All right. Good job, dude. Good job. I had no idea that was coming down the pipe, you know? What was I going to tell? The officer who killed Ashley Babbitt came forward. That's a current event we should talk about. That's going to be
so
weird.
My thing has been for months, I just want to know his name. I just want to know his name. Part of it was because when I was in a libertarian group a couple of years ago before it got nuked, on the same day that Dave Smith's was nuked, ironically. So when the Mises Caucus got nuked the other day, I was like, were y'all not hard enough in that group, man? How are you this late? How are you this late?
Yeah.
Are they back?
Yeah, they're back.
I forgot what I was talking about because I started talking about Facebook. Jeez. But I wanted to know his name because I was in a Facebook group with a Capitol police officer. And so I was the whole time. I'm just like, I just didn't want that moment where I face palmed really hard for being in the same Facebook group as someone who shot Ashley Babbitt. I just didn't want that to happen.
Right. Or you wanted to be the guy to break. You should have got close to him. You should have like got really close to him and then broke the news if it was him. And because then you would have been like internet famous forever. You know what I mean?
It was this bittersweet thing, you know, because I was like, I don't want to be like, oh God, it was him. But at the same time, I'm like, if it is, I kind of want to be like, hey, I told you so.
Right. Absolutely.
But he kind of distanced himself from us last year when we just were all talking shit about Capitol Police before the 1/6 horrible massacre happened. What a terrible thing 1/6 was. It wasn't disappointing at all.
I call it the unplanned guided tour of the Capitol, and people get really mad at me. But that's what it was. It was an unplanned guided tour. I mean, Jesus.
There was it came out that the FBI had looked into it, and the FBI determined that it wasn't planned. And I was like, yeah, because you can't say that you planned it.
Right.
Like, we know why you're saying this. We're not stupid. We know that this was you.
You mean like the kidnapping of Gretchen Weimer from Michigan, where it was like 12 alphabet boys and like one random dude that was like, yeah, okay, cool, let's do it. And then they're like, like FBI, CIA, which one are you? You know what I mean? And they're like, they arrested like one dude. And it's like, okay, what about all the other people that were involved? Oh, they were all undercover like agents. Okay, I see. I see how it is.
I loved.
Go ahead.
Oh, I loved that guy with the pickup truck at DC.
Oh, that was so bizarre.
When all of that started coming out. That was so bizarre. But everybody was instantly like, this dude glows. There's just his act. He had 12 different Southern accents rolled into one person.
Bizarre.
Like, are you from Tennessee or Louisiana? And then
three names? They used all three of his names.
What?
They always do that if it's a spook.
And have you ever seen a lifted pickup truck on factory tires?
No, never in my life, not once.
Right. So that dude glows in the dark, and everybody knew it. And they just like, they could not get away with that.
And
nobody bought it.
Well, and everybody online was like, this is bullshit. And then it just disappeared. No one's talking about it. The news isn't talking about it. Right. This is a guy who was supposedly talking about setting up bombs all over DC and shit. And then he just disappears like that.
There's a morning show that I watch with Stephen Ignoramus. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with his show, on his live feed in his chat, someone appeared today saying, hey guys, September 29th, we're having a live event in DC. You guys should get a group together and come down here.
No thanks.
And everybody was like, okay, Glowy, like get the hell out of here.
No thanks.
So their ability to fool people is, you know, waning. Sure. And that's a good thing.
Well, and this incident, I mean, this guy in the truck with three names that was obviously very, very brightly glowing, disappeared quicker than the Vegas shooter. I mean, you know what I mean? It was like, it was in the news cycle for like a day and a half and it was gone.
Right.
That would happen.
I felt like he looked like he could be related to the Vegas shooter. Like it, it was like they cast it out of the same pool or something.
It's like, yeah, it's like they're brothers or something. Yeah, no, like, you know, I don't know much about the Vegas shooting. I've watched quite a few things on it, but the fact that the whole story with the shooter and this lone man theory and all this stuff just disappeared, like, it's just gone. We never heard anything else about him. And then his brother, who came out to kind of speak about him, all of a sudden was found with child porn on his on his computer, and then died. I think, right? And it's like, what the hell is going on? This is very bizarre. I'm going
to
be honest with you.
I just don't know how one man gets that many guns up from a hotel lobby to his room without someone going, what the hell is this guy moving? Is he moving in?
Right.
Like, it makes no sense whatsoever.
It never did. TJ Fitzsimmons, thanks for the $20 super chat, man. I appreciate you. You know that. Hey, somebody in the, Warren Dent. What's up, man? Dent's in the chat. He says he knows these people. Hey, Dent. Everybody knows these people.
Yeah.
Someday Cam's going to have as many followers as Jessica. Maybe we'll see.
Maybe, hopefully, one day.
it's you're like almost 1/10 there, buddy. You're gonna make it.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I'm almost to a quarter there. Actually, thanks. Thank you very much.
Nice, dude.
Good. If I could get to 2,000, I'd be happy.
Yeah,
I don't. It doesn't matter that much to me, but I'd like to get to 2,000. So, I mean, come on, people.
I'm working on 19,000. And
nice.
And I'm pretty sure by the time I get there, they're going to kick me off Twitter. I'm sure it's going to happen. You know, right before I get to 20, I'm just like, see ya. I'm like, no.
Though my favorite, one of my favorite accounts is Tetsui, and he loses his account every 30 days and just appears through the back door. He's like that Barney meme where Mo throws him out, and then he just appears in the bar behind Mo. Yeah.
I don't even know if it's every 30 days that guy gets kicked off. I love Tet. Don't get me wrong. Tet's one of my favorite Twitter follows too. He's super dope. But it's like, it seems like every 2 weeks he gets booted.
Yeah.
He just does not care. He will lose every account ever. And, you know, there's something kind of based about that. You just say what you want.
I agree fully. Yeah. Well, we're definitely getting to the end of the public chat, guys. If you guys are willing to do 10 or 15 minutes in the members only, I would appreciate you. But what do you guys got coming up? You guys got any good shows coming up? Anything planned? What's next for you guys?
Oh, dude, we have, do you know Nick Pacone? He used to do a show called Sounds Like Liberty.
I'm a big fan of Nick Pacone,
Yeah, Nick will be, I think the name of the show now is Misfit Family of his. But he's coming on this next week. He watched our postmodernism show and some of the other more philosophical shows. And he was like, I studied this in college. I want to set the record straight. So we're going to do like a grab bag of philosophy and setting some of these things straight, because people don't understand postmodernism.
Not at all.
At all. And I learned a little something when we talked to Ali about it. And Ali's a great person to talk to. But he was like, I have this breadth of knowledge. Please use me. And I was like, well, you know, I love that. I gave him the nickname Three Dicks. So if he ever comes on your show, please throw that out there.
Three Dicks. Okay.
Yes.
Just like when I had Monica Perez on, I had to talk about Silky Black Hawk, and I was like, oh, great. This is going to, here we go.
That's a classic.
We have a lot of good stuff coming up. Monica and Brad are going to be on next month. And then October is just going to be freaking packed. I just did all of my outros.
I'm so excited about October.
We're planned out to November at this point. And so I just did all the outro videos for that with our different announcements. And October, we're going to have my favorite true crime podcaster on.
Which one?
We're going to have, his name is Jack Luna. Does a show called Dark Topic.
Yeah, I want Mike. I've been trying to get Mike on mine. Mike from That Chapter.
Okay.
If you guys don't watch him, he's a Irish guy, and every single time he drops a new video, I hop in, because he's got like 1.5 million subscribers on YouTube or something. Every time he drops a new video, I immediately go to it and drop it. Come on my show, Mike. Every time, and he's never responded yet, but he's like my favorite true crime podcaster. So, but go ahead, please.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So we'll have true crime. Then the week after that, we're talking about interdimensional beings. And aliens, and really we're talking about like demons. That'll be fun. And then we also have two people that we met online who both got out of occult secret societies, the Ordo Templaris Ordo or something like that, and the the Order of the Golden Dawn. And so we're going to talk to them about how they got out of that. And then we're going to talk about hell at the end of the month.
Oh, good.
So it's going to be just a very densely packed, spooky ass month.
Nice.
I'm thrilled about it.
I like it a lot, man. I try to get the month ahead booked all the way out. But when you're doing five shows a week, it's brutal, dude.
Yeah.
It's hard to
do. I can understand that. It's sometimes you get to, you know, 2 months out and you're like, what on earth am I going to talk about? Who am I going to talk to? So yeah. I can't imagine doing five a week.
Yeah, I always have at least the next 2 weeks booked out at least at this point, because if I don't, I'll end up missing shows and stuff like that. So initially I was probably going to end up having to miss this show. But I was grateful that you guys could do a 3 o'clock matinee before I go to work. And I really love y'all.
Yeah.
Where can the people? Go ahead. You go.
I was just going to say, I just recommend having regulars that people love, because my regulars are like Nick. Our regulars are like Nick Picone, Monica Perez, where we can just be like, hey, we have an opening here. Do you want to? So
sure.
If you can have some people that you just jive with and can talk to anyone to them about anything. Like, you don't have to do a new person every week. And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's how it is. That's how it is with Top Lobster too. We've been talking about having Top be the Robbie the Fire Bernstein to my Dave Smith. You know what I mean? So we may be doing a lot more Top Lobster shows in the future. At least maybe
we love some. Lobster.
Yeah, he's amazing, man. I love the guy to death. Yeah. But maybe at least once twice a month, maybe more. We'll see. And see how that works out, because then we can just do shows on all kinds of different topics together. You know, but Jessica, where can everybody find you guys, support you, listen to you, watch you, all that good stuff?
So I'm on Twitter, of course. You can find me at SoupCanarchist on Twitter. I pretty much do all of my social media communication and spicy tweets through there. So look for us there. We also have our podcast on YouTube, Odyssey and Rockfin, and pretty much anywhere, you know, anywhere podcasts are sold, basically. Just Google or search We Are the Mad Ones, and look for our black and yellow logo, and you will find us.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate you guys. You know, I'm a huge fan. I think your podcast is likely one of the most underrated podcasts out there. Please go listen to my friends Jessica and Cam on the Mad Ones. Guys, if you could just hold on a few minutes, I'll close out the stream, and we'll get the members-only stream going. All right, thanks, guys.
At Cam Harless on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I was playing it underneath you the whole time, buddy.
Okay, good.
All right, I'll see you guys in a couple minutes. See ya. All right, guys, another awesome episode of Break the Cycle. Thank you so much for hanging out on a matinee show. You know, I try to stay consistent and do my show at 7:30 Central Time every night. But sometimes life happens, especially when you have 7 kids and a full-time job and all that great stuff. So someday we'll be able to get a lot more content out for you. I think we're over 1/5 of the way to my goal on Patreon, to making this a full-time gig where I get to make content for you guys full-time and go out and do man on the street stuff and do more roundtables with a lot more people and all this great stuff. So that's the goal. That's what we're pushing for. I don't expect it overnight, but I do have my fiance Julia is putting out a channel that's going to be called Julia and Elise. So definitely keep an eye out for that. If you like, like mom vlogs, she's going to do all kinds of different cool, funny stuff, but I'm helping her with that. And we got another studio set up in the house now for her interview style, stuff with the camera. And then we are vlogging now too with her. So I will be doing, all the editing on that. It's probably going to be pretty rough in the beginning, but we'll get there. Guys, next Monday on the show, we're going to have the, one of the world's top MILF adult actresses, Miss Brandy Love, will be on the show on Monday. We'll be talking about her getting evicted from the TPUSA event and all kinds of other stuff too. I'm sure it's going to be fun. Go check out our sponsors, toplobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great graphic designs, hand-drawn on shirts and hats and backpacks, and I think he's got, like, I don't know, leggings and all kinds of stuff. You can get 10% discount by using BTC at checkout, or join the Patreon, subscribe star, or become a member of the YouTube channel here to get in the private Discord server, where you can get up to 30% off of all of his new designs 2 weeks early before they hit the general public. And of course, executive producer of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has typically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, I will see you for the show on Monday with Brandy Love at 7:30 p.m. normal time, Central. Until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Well, Chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing, I mean, you know it. No product dinners, cause you're close to COVID.